Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In the Bible, we are encouraged in several places to continue in some things. I mean, there are some things stated in the Bible in which we must continue no matter the circumstances of life. These need to be constant. They need to be consistent. They need to be continual in our lives. We're going to look at these. They're easy to find. They're all connected to the word continue. The first one is found in John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Now, of course, we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, so we're sons of God. But listen, if you really want to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to continue in His Word. In other words, I'm speaking here practically, not doctrinally. We're not talking about whether you're in or out of salvation. We're talking about you're saved, okay? You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you really want to continue following the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have to continue in His Word. No matter what, you must continue in the Word of God. You cannot put your Bible down for a day. Why? Because one day becomes two, and 2 days become three, and 3 days become four, and 4 days become a lifetime. I have watched it time and time again. When people are not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that they're not in the Word. I've noticed that when they get into sin and sin takes them away from walking with the Lord God, you know what it is? They've put their Bible down. You see, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, our inward man is renewed day by day. For which cause we faint not, Paul said, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He can't be renewed day by day if you're not in that Bible day by day. You can't. You see, our spiritual bread given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4:4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our spiritual bread is daily bread. What happens is this. People get saved, they grow up in church, and they learn the lingo. They know the songs, they know the people, they know the liturgy, that is, whatever that local church does on a fairly regular basis, they know how to do all that. They know the lingo. They know how to say the right things to people when they see and greet them at church. But I'm going to tell you something. If they're not in the Bible, you know what's going to happen to them is they're only going to grow in appearance. They're only going to grow in their ability to conform to the expectations of their pastor and the people in that local church. They're not going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you watch them. You'll tell a person, turn to a certain passage in the Bible. They don't even know where it is. They have to hunt and pick around. They know it's maybe in the New Testament, maybe in the Old Testament. But they struggle to find the passage of Scripture. You know why? They're not in the book. And if they're not in the book enough to even know where the chapters are located and the verses are located, then there's no way they're in the book enough to grow, to be nourished by the milk of the Word and to be nourished by the meat of the Word. The Bible is our spiritual bread. It renews our inward man day by day. James Hoffmeister, a missionary down in Trinidad, said, "It's not our grasp of the Bible, but the Bible's grasp of us that matters." I know some people that have been in the Bible, But they went in there to get information. They went in there to get smarter. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Certainly you want to know the Bible. Certainly you want to study the Bible well enough to be able to teach it, preach it, talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. If that Bible's not doing a work on your heart, God's not going to be able to use you well to help do a work on another person's heart. The Bible has to grasp you. And in order for that to happen, you have to continue in the Word of God. So let's make this real pointed before we move on to the next point. If I'm talking to you, if you have put that Bible down for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, when we finish this broadcast, if you're at your home, go get your Bible, blow the dust off of it, open it up and begin to read. And read it today, and read it tomorrow, and read it the next day. And keep on now, and let that Bible get a grasp of you. If I'm talking to you, and you've put that Bible down for a few days, and you've been meaning to get to it, just recognize tomorrow is going to come and go with the same result as today. You have to, when you get home, get that Bible, open it up, get on your knees, and ask the Lord to open your eyes, that you may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Pray to him and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," and then let him talk to you. Continue in the Word of God. That's an explicit exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ to those he would call his disciples. Now, know if you're a child of God, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. A disciple is one who would follow him. Are you going to follow the Lord? Then you need to be in his Word. He said, "If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed." Here's the next thing. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're in the context of the true vine and the husbandman. And in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says of John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Watch it. "Continue ye in my love." You can't get it any simpler than that. He says, on the one hand, continue in the Word. He says, on another hand, "Continue ye in my love." It is so clearly stated you couldn't miss it. So no matter what, you must continue in the love of God. Now, according to Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He says, Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, shall tribulation?" No. In other words, you can go through something where we are really suffering for your faith in Christ. It won't separate you from the love of Christ. You'll love him and he'll continue to love you. How about distress? Distress is there and it can work on you, but it won't separate you from the love of Christ if you don't let it. I've seen people get so stressed out they forgot that they loved Christ and that Christ loved them, but distress in and of itself won't do it. It can't. Persecution? No. Christ still loves you. Famine? Still loves you. Nakedness? He still loves you. Peril? Sword? He still loves you, and you ought to still love him. We love him because he first loved us. "For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So no matter if you're going through tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, or anything else, continue in the love of God because it's there for you. He doesn't cut it off. People think sometimes when they go through something bad, God mustn't love me. He loves you. There may be some chastening in his hand in that thing you're going through, but oftentimes you're going through it because that's what Christians go through. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And the world's not happy about us being saved. So no matter what, you must continue in the love of God. Since particularly there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Not here, not to come, not above you, not below you, not next to you. Don't let anything come between you and God. Don't let anything come between you. Now think about this. If none of these things that we've just seen here in Romans chapter 8 can separate you from the love of God, do you not know that you can separate yourself from the love of God? by the choices that you make. Listen, you can love a mate more than the Lord, and that person will separate you from the love of God. That's right. I've told you before, but I'll tell you again. A young man was called into the mission field, and he knew it. And while he was preparing and studying, he met a young lady and proposed to marry her and told her that he was called to a certain mission field. And she said in reply, "I'm not called to that mission field." He said, "Then we can't marry." And he called off their proposal, their engagement. He said, "Why?" "Because of his love for God." He said, "I'm going to continue in the love of God. If I love this woman more than I love God and I fulfill her call, not his, then I'm not continuing the love of God." So he broke it off. Oh, I've seen it many, many times. Young man, very zealous for the Lord. Young woman, very zealous for the Lord. They get a mate, and suddenly their zeal for the Lord goes down because the zeal for each other has increased. And you know what happens? The love for that mate gets in the way of the love for God. Can't let that happen. Don't you know that your love for your children, your love for your job, your love for your hobby, your love for your entertainment, your love for yourself, particularly these days, men shall be lover of their own selves, the Bible says, in these perilous times. Your love for yourself, any of those things can get between you and your love for God. And you know what the Lord said? "Continue ye in my love." You can't let any of those things get in the way. I know men, good men, but they have a hobby, and I'm telling you, that hobby is just on their mind all the time. And you know, when you listen to them just talk, just the ordinary, non-prompted conversation, they can talk about that hobby a lot more than they can talk about the Lord. And you know what they're saying, whether they know it or not, by their testimony? They're saying, "I love that thing, I love that hobby more than I love the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean that all men that can speak knowledgeably about something that they enjoy love that thing more than they love God, but I'll tell you, it's often the case. If you can never talk about the Lord, and you can always talk about your entertainment, your sport, whatever it is that you do, you know that that thing that you're talking about, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, is in your heart more than the Lord is in your heart. You got to watch that. Listen. When Jesus Christ was asked about the first commandment, he didn't hesitate. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul." That's what you ought to do. Now, if he said it that way, and what he's telling you is that there's no capacity for the love of anything else when you love the Lord with all your soul, when you love the Lord with all your heart, and when you love the Lord with all your mind. There's not a capacity to love anything else, certainly more than the Lord. That's first and foremost. You see, when the angel wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus, he said, "You're a great church. I know your works, your patience, and all these other things." But he said, "I have somewhat against thee," in Revelation 2:4. What was it? "Because thou hast left thy first love." Because thou hast left thy first love. And let me tell you, there are a lot of Christians who are in danger of that or who already have done that. So let's make this very personal. If I'm talking to you, that is, something has intervened and has entered your heart and you love that thing now, you wouldn't admit it. But of course, you don't have to look at me right now because I'm talking to you in a digital format. I'm talking to you in your radio or in your computer or on your phone. So you don't have to look at me, but I'm telling you, you wouldn't admit it to me that you've let somebody else get between you and the Lord. But if you have, then you know what you need to do? You need to go back and continue in the love of God. That's what he told you to do. And that's what you need to do. Continue in the love of God. You need to be constant. You need to be consistent. You need to check that every day that nothing gets between you and the Lord. So, he said, continue in the Word of God. Continue in the love of God. Acts 13:43. Here's the next one. Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Here, he says, continue in the grace of God. Now, Paul is preaching at Antioch. And there are Gentiles and there are Jews that are listening to him, and they're stirred up about it. They're hearing the gospel. Some of them aren't saved yet. And so he says to them in verse 43 of Acts chapter 13, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And then the next week when he preached, many of them got saved. Continue in the grace of God. So no matter what your circumstances are, you must continue in the grace of God. Listen, everything we do in our spiritual lives, everything we do in our spiritual lives flows from the grace of God. Let me put it to you simply. The grace of God is His supernatural power, His supernatural provision for you to be able to do things that He wants you to do that you are incapable of doing without Him. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. You have your own strength. You have your own money. You have your own mind. You have some wisdom. You have some talent. You have some ability. All those things you can do without the grace of God. But you know what? They won't amount to anything. Because we can't do anything worth doing apart from the grace of God. So what he says is, I want you to continue in the grace of God. In other words, I want you to look to me for my supernatural provision, for my supernatural power to do things in your life that are beyond your ability, like salvation. These people needed to continue in the grace of God because it was by the grace of God that they would be saved. We are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God gives you grace to save you. He also gives you grace to strengthen you because we are strengthened by the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul approached the Lord in prayer three times, asking him to remove the thorn in his flesh. And the Lord didn't do it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, here's what the Lord did do. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, there you go. If you have my supernatural provision, my supernatural power, my gift of my strength for you, it's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm too weak for this, His grace is there. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We are strengthened by the grace of God. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, was explaining that he got in on this apostleship late. And he was really as one called out of due time. And he said, it's really something how the Lord did it because I persecuted the church of God. But then in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said this, I am the least of the apostles, he says in verse 9, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God. You see, so Paul attributes all this to the grace of God. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. God has a task for you to do. And you don't have the spiritual, physical, mental, emotional strength to do it. So you know what God does? He puts you in a situation where He's going to use you in something that's greater than your ability, greater than your talent, and then He gives you the grace to get the thing done so that you can tell everybody else, I didn't do this. God did it. I've watched the Lord do that in my life and other people's lives, and I'm going to tell you something. If you continue in the grace of God, you'll always be able to do something worthwhile because it'll be Him doing it through you more than you doing it for Him. And it's the things He does through you by His grace that really count and also are really profitable for Him and for the others to whom you do them. Now, he says continue. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in the love of God. Continue in the grace of God. Acts chapter 14, look at verse 22. Continue in the faith of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, they're going back through, Paul and Barnabas, are all the places where they have dealt with people before the churches have been established. And it says, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Watch it, continue in the faith. You've got to continue in the faith of God. No matter what, continue in the faith of God. Don't ever lose your trust. Why? Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's the go-to man. He is the person that we go to for everything. But you got to trust him. You see, the more you believe the Bible, that's point number one, continue in the Word of God. The more you believe the Bible, the stronger your faith will be. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more that you trust God through trials, the stronger your faith will be. In other words, God purposely puts you in trials to allow your faith to strengthen, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he's going to try your faith. But he means to do it in order to strengthen it. The more that you trust God in those trials, the stronger your faith is going to be. As a matter of fact, the Lord will lead you into situations, other situations, where he can strengthen your faith. One of the best examples of this is Matthew chapter 14. Go with me there, Peter walking on the water. And the reason that we're choosing this text is very simple, because it contains elements in it that really show this strengthening process as the Lord points these things out, and it also shows you what can compete with your faith to keep it from getting stronger. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is walking on the sea. He says to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." In verse 28, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Now, there's the instruction. There's the word of God. Come. It's all Peter needs. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But, you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now that process right there, of course, embarrassed Peter probably at first, but it also gave him an opportunity through that mistake to learn a lesson in order to be able to strengthen his faith. But what this passage really demonstrates for us are really three things that will really challenge faith. Sight, when he saw the wind boisterous. Fear, he was afraid. And doubt, wherefore didst thou doubt? Those three things right there are serious opponents to faith. Listen, continue in the faith of God, and don't let what you see, don't let what you fear, and don't let what you doubt oppose that faith. You cannot give in to those things. You must repel them. Also, you cannot give in to, like so many have in this day and age, you cannot give in to the love of money. That is a great opponent of faith. It will obscure faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And I'll tell you, there are lots of people who profess to have a lot of faith who love that money, and that money has obscured their faith. It's a great opponent of faith. Don't let that happen to you. Finally, and quickly, continue in the lessons of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. No matter what, you must continue in the lessons of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, boy, you know what Paul is telling Timothy here? You learned some things from me, and I want you to continue in those things. And you've also learned some things from God, and I want you to continue those things. Listen, as you live your eternal life, God is going to teach you some things along the way. Don't forget these lessons, because you're going to need them down the road to guide you and, more importantly, to teach others. You see, the more you hang around godly men, the more you hang around wise men, the more you're going to pick up from them. Timothy picked up a lot of things from Paul. Like one man said, these things are caught. They're not taught. You catch them. You pick them up. And these lessons become profound guides for your life. They're like little nuggets. And God gives them to you so that you can live by them. So when he gives them to you, you got to continue at them. They have to become the pattern for your life. I could tell you, I could have an entire broadcast on those little nuggets, those lessons of God that he has shown me throughout life. I won't take the time now. Perhaps there'll be a time when I'll put those little nuggets together and we'll do a broadcast on them, because they are profound waypoints and markers in my life that absolutely, when I encounter those circumstances again, I say, whoa, we've been down this road before. We're not going that way again. We learned that lesson the first time, and we don't want to repeat it the second time. So continue in those lessons of God. Now, if you will continue in these five things that we've looked at from the Scripture today, you're going to be amazed how much God will bless the work he's doing in you, and how much God will bless the work he's doing through you for his glory and for the benefit of the saints that he has you to minister to. Let me repeat what those things are. Continue in the Word of God. You cannot put your Bible down even for a day. And if you have, get back into it today. Continue in the love of God. That love may have been challenged by a circumstance in your life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And don't volunteer to put something that you love more than God between you. Continue in the grace of God, because it's by his grace that we are saved and strengthened, and by his grace that we labor. You cannot do anything worth doing apart from the grace of God. Continue in the faith of God, and when he tests you, to strengthen that faith. Listen, don't doubt him, don't fear, and don't go by sight. Certainly, whatever you do, don't trust money. It's uncertain. And finally, continue in the lessons of God. God is teaching you by your experience and by the things you catch from other people, so that you can live a life that is better. Learn those lessons and continue in those lessons. They will guide you all the way till you get to see God. I pray that this message today has been a real help to you. I know it's been a help to me. And may God bless you as you continue in these things. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.